This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the county result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So, the only thing left to say is, are you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. And you can also get reward points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Scarf Bagara War with me, Russ Johnson. I'm joined as ever by Waggy. You all right, Waggy, mate?
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad.
Good, good. I think it's the Lonely Hearts Club Band tonight, isn't it? for this.
No, my Valentine's evening finished about 15 minutes ago. So
did it? It's funny. Yeah, so did mine.
Yeah, it only started 20 minutes ago, but it finished 15 minutes ago.
Yeah, we had a lovely meal. We had a lovely meal. We had it with the kids as well, so we had a lovely time. So it was good.
Oh, we kicked the kids out. With it, 18 and 24, so they're not as if they're like, you know, a 9-10 year old walking around the streets for a couple of hours while we have something to eat.
So yeah, it's going to be a good one tonight. So we've got myself and Waggy. We're going to be joined very soon by Will. Will Main, who will explain what he does and who he is shortly. We've got an opposition review from a Tranmere podcast. Let's just put it that way. If he gets his technicalities sorted out, he was backstage a minute ago. He's gone now, but hopefully he'll return. And if not, I guess we'll have to crack on without him. Also, we've got a giveaway to announce at the end of the show, and I'll just do a bit of admin before we start. This is part of the TalkSport Fan Network, as you already know. Thank you to them for sponsoring us. And this is part of Mentel as well. That's our charity partner for 2024. We've got some Mentel podcasts coming up soon. Got two of those booked in already. So look out for those. Those will go to patrons first. Thank you to all of our patrons. We're up to 70 patrons now. If you'd like to join in that fun, that is £3 a month. And you get everything ad-free before everybody else and those exclusive Courtyard Club calls. And Dave Smith Never Existed podcasts as well. And any little addition ones that we do as well. So I'm interviewing Steve Massey again for the second part of that interview. So that'll be good. We've also got our Etsy store with exclusive T-shirts available on there and hoodies designed by me. And if someone can do better, come along and help us, please. I think they're all right. So yeah, nice to see all of the usual people online, all of the other Lonely Hearts as well online. And it's especially nice to see Gazendo back and he's got his internet fixed. So yes, we have missed you, Gazendo.
We look forward to it.
We do.
After speaking to him last night.
Yeah. So what we'll do first is we'll get Will on first. Richard is just backstage, still having technicalities. We'll get Will on first. We'll have a quick chat with Will before hopefully we can do an Oppo preview with a Tranmere podcast. And then we'll all have a bit of a counselling session together and sing Kumbaya about last night's selection performance result. There we go. Hello, Will.
Hiya, you all right?
Yeah, not bad, you?
Cool.
Yeah, not bad.
Good, good. We must point out at this stage that if you can hear tapping It's rain on Will's roof. It's, yeah, not, it's not any gremlins we've got. So
it's not a torture. It's not some sort of torture.
No. It might be considered torture by the time the stream's over, to be fair.
Yeah, we'll be able to ask you any question and you'll answer it.
It feels like you've done torture before, Waggy. Or is it just what you've got off the TV?
Just what I've been told.
Just what you've been told.
There was no proof.
Fair dues. Did I mention we're doing a giveaway? I'm going to announce a giveaway later. Did I mention that before?
Yeah, you did, yeah.
I did. Okay, well, just to mention it again, we're going to announce a giveaway, and it's a good giveaway, one that you're not going to want to miss. So what we'll do, Will, you just join in the chat, yeah? You just get involved with the Tranmere, with the Tranmere preview, and we will talk now to Richard, who's a member of the Tranmere podcast, and he'll explain what that is.
Here's Armstrong. Armstrong! Yes!
Hi lads, can you hear me?
We can hear you now, Richard. Yes, yeah, you're great. Okay.
I'm good, good, lads. I'm better for getting off the boat. Tammy's performance last night, it was terrible. And I've managed to get the permission slipped on Valentine's night to talk to you, gents, so doing okay.
Yeah, fair dues, mate, fair dues. We're in the same boat. Well, me and Waggy, I'm not sure about Will's situation, but we're in the same boat. We had to beg to come on the podcast tonight as well. So, you know, you're in good company, yeah, where that's concerned.
To be fair, it's a little easier to talk about football on Valentine's night when you sit on top of League Two rather than 17th, 18th, whatever we are. So even though you didn't get nothing last night, it's a little easier for you guys to do this than me. I can tell you that now.
Well, I don't. I knew you were going to say
going off last night. Yeah,
going off last night, mate. Honestly, it was horrific. So your podcast, then, A Trip to the Moon. I think it was explained to us what that was last time we had somebody on from your podcast, and was it an old manager that said that sort of setting expectations, and we can go to the moon and back or something.
Not such a thing as an old manager. The manager, as far as Tranmere fans. John King is an absolute godlike status with us. Unfortunately, bless his soul, he passed a few years ago. But if you've ever been to Prenton Park, he's the man with the on the statue with his arms in the air. He was a good friend of Shankly and some of the other Liverpool lot over the water. He brought John Aldridge to the club. And to be fair, he took the club from the edge of non-league, which we thought we'd never end up in. I'm sure, as you guys, exactly the same. I've had the privilege in the near past of what non-league's like. We were in the edge of non-league in the 80s, and he took us all the way to literally Swindon turning the lights off from us getting into the Premier League. So, an absolute legend. And he was a man who was probably, best known for, like, at the time Cantona was talking about seagulls and stuff like that, John King was coming up with just as many crazy little things. And one of the things he did say was, we were on a trip to the moon. And to be fair, he did, I think he said that the chairman at the time stopped and jumped off the ride. He was on taking Tranmere on a space rocket to the moon, apparently.
Nice. I remember them telling us that last time. I can't remember we had on the lad. And I thought, that's a really good name for a podcast. It's got such depth, hasn't it, in terms of, like, the cult. You got to be a Tranmere fan to know that, haven't you, pretty much? So, yeah, I like it.
Defo, I was going to say, I think John King could fill podcasts for hours and hours with some of the stories. But Matt, who runs the podcast, he gets good value out of Mr. King's stories. Even this week, he was an ex-player talking about all sorts. So, yeah.
Nice. Just to let you know, Will, I've muted you so that we don't get the raindrops all the time. But if you want to talk, come mute yourself and jump in, mate. Don't be shy. Don't be shy. On to Tranmere then, and on to Saturday. So currently 18th in the table, not doing too well recently. I think you've lost three in the last five. But I think there's been a bit of an upturn since we last played you. How's it going now you find yourself in 18th position?
I'm known and I get quite a lot of stick for being one of the more positive fans.
All right.
I've been involved in interviewing the chairman. I'm quite pro the chairman, and there's quite a lot of Tranmere fans that are not very pro the chairman, who is quite a an interesting figure in the fact of his time with the FA, and he very much speaks like a politician. I've got a lot of time for him, and Tranmere as a club is run quite sustainable. It's not really bankrolled by much. We don't spend a lot, but then on the other hand, what we do spend, it's, you know, it comes out of cash reserves, and you know, we're not crippled in debt. We own our facilities, and the time we come out of non-league, we've come out quite strong. We did the double bounce up to League One, and then now this season, a lot of people at the start of the season called him, you know, for the appointment of Ian Dawes, which I think the last time we played you, I think Nigel had just took over from Dawes. But we were very much a different side to what we saw probably just over a month ago in November when Nigel was up for manager of the month. You know, we're kind of an anti-football side at this moment in time, as as football is very obsessed with playing from the back. This Tranmere team's not that interested in having the ball. It sounds strange to say that, but we really are. We're turning teams fast on the counter, breaking pace of Rob Apter on loan from Blackpool, who's certainly got a lot of people talking about his pace when he's breaking. We're quite used to winning games with 35-40% of possession and maybe five or six shots on goal. That's it. So we've certainly been a lot more compact. Last night, as you gents, we didn't get on too well. We played the Morecambe side that, if I'm honest, we just lost. I feel like we lost the physical battles all over the park. They were more of a 4-5-1, 4-3-3, which didn't fit up to our 4-4-2, which were very much a rigorous 4-4-2, two wide men that try and have a bit of trickery and break a pace. So we're not in brilliant shape. There's a lot of people that are literally a few hours away from hysteria in Tranmere Twitter land. There's an awful lot of people that have taken a lot of solace from our better form in November, our October, November, December kind of run, which propelled us, thank God, quite a few points away from those bin league drop places. Because if you spoke to a Tranmere fan in the end of September, October, we were, you know, working out routes to Dover and Eastleigh and all that crap again. So realistically, we're not as bad as we were. But the last two results, I think Doncaster, we didn't play too bad. It just didn't work out for us. Donny didn't offer much, but, you know, we made a mistake and conceded that second goal. So we were good value for at least a point at Donny. But last night, there was the real thing that isn't taken easily by Tranmere fans is when we're out-battled by a team. And I think we lost the battle there second half yesterday. We didn't offer a massive amount going forward, but we had a chance to put it 3-1. We raced into a 2-0 lead. Some sloppy defending, and it was a borderline offside, but it was one of those, it was a mishit shot that landed at the forward's foot to put them 2-1 back in the game. Half time, you could kind of tell that we needed to get a grip of the game. We had a 10-minute spell, we had a chance to go 3-1 up, we missed that, and it put us then back in a position where, as soon as we went 2-2, there was only one team that was going to win that, and it was a last-minute free kick, 95th minute, just to really top off my day.
Yeah, know the feeling, mate. Know the feeling. Yeah, because I think it was Nigel Atkins. Was it Nigel Atkins' first game, actually?
I think it might have been.
It was one of his first, yeah, I think so.
Yeah, because I remember someone's mentioned it here. Nick Ten has mentioned it. Not that one. That's wrong. It's not Nick Ten. It's County 1883. Was it, your tactics board was shown outside the ground, wasn't it? I don't know if you remember that.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think it was pretty much as sophisticated as a picture of a goal with like our goalkeeper drawn in it saying, don't let it go in here and get it in the other bastard end. And at times, you know what? Like, I think Nigel Atkins has been someone who's come out and said, we need to do the basics at an elite level. And the way he plays his team, it is exactly that. There's nothing sophisticated about the way that we play. Some Tranmere fans would be really upset at hearing that. I think that we should cut our cloth where we're at. And one of the things, like, I think the difference between your league position and Notts County's league position, if I'm honest, I think at times, I think Notts County played some of the best football, especially under the last manager, some of the best football this division's ever seen. But you guys are sat top of the league. And that's because maybe sometimes the things that frustrate you guys, what Dave Chaloner does, it's just a little less risk and sometimes a little less reward, but you've had the rub of the green and a lot of things, and you've got talent. You've got a good size squad and you've got talent. So you're sat at the top of the table, whereas the Notts County, that were, you know, they were sat just outside the playoffs, and now they've got quite a challenge with a different owner in there.
Yeah.
A different manager in there, sorry.
Yeah. I remember I defended the tactics board at the time, having done some coaching badges. You know, I think I'm a bit of a tactic man. You know what I mean? I'm not really, but it did go back to basics. And I thought, well, that makes sense, because he's just got in the door. The first thing you do is probably say you clear the decks and go back to the absolute basics. And it wasn't quite scoring their net, don't concede in outers kind of thing, was it? It was a bit more than that, but
yeah, it wasn't far off. But I think that's the legacy that the previous manager, well, some people would say that he was never a manager, but the guy that came in, Ian Dawes, Trammy just had a feeling that we'd set up overcomplicated. And that's it, modern football now, you're talking about overloads, half positions inverting, and the team was just so many square pegs and round holes that we couldn't get any form. We had a couple of decent performances, like I think we went in the cup, played League One side, and in the League Cup we were unlucky. We got knocked out on penalties. I think it was Barnsley, if I remember rightly. But a decent performance there. I think we beat Harrogate 3-0 at home, and big Luke Norris, our centre forward that we signed from Stevenage last year, looked an absolute colossus. But we lost him to injury. We were playing Christian Dennis in a kind of like a front right position inverted, and Christian Dennis is about as mobile as my house. we were just playing too many players. We were very exposed on the wings, and we were playing too many players in half positions, and ultimately we looked very, very easy to score against. And when you're very easy to score against and you're not scoring goals, your guy who's at the top in the big seat ends up on the rock and roll, quite rightly.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So you had four decent wins from sort of over Christmas time, didn't you? Then it kind of tailed off since then. Who's been sort of your standout players? I know Connor Jennings, I think, is your top scorer, probably your top rated on FotMob as well, as I look at it. And Apter looked brilliant when he came to Edgeley Park. Aside from them two, is anybody else that we need to look out for on Saturday?
And that's it, I think. If I was to sit here as a Stockport County fan and look at Tranmere, I think what you've got to look at, and probably where you're maybe a little bit worried after your performance last night, is it's Tranmere's game will suit you having the ball and trying to have a go at us, because when we turn you, we look at our most dangerous. I'm not going to say this too loud, just in case Dave Chandler is watching. But if you kind of sit back and invite us on, we run out of ideas very quickly. We'll give you the ball. You don't really need to press us. Like last night, we had a lot of possession compared to other games. A lot of possession in the back line, centre halves aimlessly lumping the ball forward. We're probably at our more dangerous when we nick it off you. So players like Apter, Harvey Saunders, they've got pace. And last night, the two goals for us came from Harvey Saunders, who I think he was kind of like a miniature, greased-up Adama Traore. He was explosive, burst of pace. One got a penalty, and the other one, he nicked the ball at the centre-half and kind of squared it to Apter to tap it in. So it's definitely pace on the turn that we're going to be going against with you, but we know a couple of your players quite well, one for which Ethan Bristow, which I know that he's going to be up against Rob Apter. I think Ethan Bristow was easily the best best left back in our league last year, performance-wise. We were disappointed to see him go, but we were glad to see what we got some money for him. I don't know what we got for him, but it was all kept very hush-hush. But the fact that he's reappeared back in League Two was a bit of a surprise. Really good going forward. But it'd be interesting to see if someone like Apter's quality, because Apter's very, very tricky when he's got the ball at his feet, if he can cause him a bit of problems. They've never been in the same squad together as well, which would be another interesting thing. But yeah, so Apter, Saunders, pace. Connor Jennings is just a wily fox, isn't he? You know Connor Jennings very well. Connor's got a very special place in Tranmere's heart for what he did with us in non-league, and you just get 110% every game. Other than that, Kieran Morris, he's got a very good left foot on him. Set pieces, if we can work it out, we've got two big lads at the back, Tom Davis and Jordan Turnbull, who Jordan Turnbull's marking is probably a bit like Mason Greenwood's Dayton style, very, very good. And I think if you don't get a foul, you probably could get a conviction for sexual assault in a court race, Jordan Turnbull mark. So it's going to be, I'd like to think, hopefully, Tranmere will react to the game last night where it's a bit embarrassing to have what happened happen at home. Don't get me wrong, Morecambe did well last night. They're in good form for how they play. But when you see what we have done to teams, in particular, we go back to the Notts County, and you know, we look at some other teams that have visited Prenton Park, when we get on top and teams sit off as we can, sometimes look a little less dangerous than when a team comes at us. And if a team has a go at us, we can pick them off on the break, and you'll be there playing all the football, and we can score a few goals.
All right, cool. I don't think Charlie does watch this, but we'll get a video sent to him. speaking of Charlie, though, Nick Ten says, how is Challoner regarded at Tranmere? I guess Clint Hill as well. Highly regarded. And
well, yeah, Clint's probably only 6 months ago, 7 months ago, maybe just before he came back to you, he was doing commentary for us on the iFollow. Clint's a well-known guy, obviously goes back to the John Aldridge managing days, like with Challoner. And we've just had Jed Brannan come with Morecambe, who's an ex-Tramier player as well, and take points. So we're well-versed to Tramier, known and liked people coming back and coming back to haunt us. So there's quite a few of us that are a bit nervous that Charlie's going to do that. However, I think, Dave Challoner is a man that a lot of Tramier fans, when quite a few of you guys were shouting at the start of the season, get him out, he's playing four centre-halves across the back four, you know, he's not that's going to take us out of the league. There was quite a lot of people in the Super White Army that were sat there going, yeah, okay, we've got Dawes here who looks like he can't even organise his own fashion sense, never mind the football team. So we'd very much take him at Prenton Park. But and you can see a lot of what Dave Chandler learned at Tranmere in some of the stuff that you've got at Stockport at this moment in time. Some of it's a bit no-nonsense and some of it's a little less risk-reward. Just take a little less risk, stay in games for longer and just win the points. That's the important thing. And for me, Dave Chandler certainly, he's not regarded as like one of the legends. You've certainly not got any banners of him around the place, but there'd be an awful lot of Tranmere fans that before Nigel came in that would have definitely liked to have taken Chandler and given him a chance. The rumour is he has applied for the job a couple of times under previous tenure when Mellon left to go to Dundee. Apparently there was interest there from Challoner, and there's been another occasion when he's been interested in the job. That's what the rumour is. But yeah, he's not a legend, but I think quite a few of us would take him back.
Nice, yeah, fair enough. On to Saturday then, and we won't keep you much longer. No, it's Valentine's night. On to Saturday then. What are you expecting from us? And I guess what do you think the score's going to be?
I think this league's an absolute basket case, isn't it? You've just played what I would consider a very ordinary crew and cornstalk. And you look at Harrogate, who were in the playoff places, just gone and got absolutely spanked 9-2. Yeah. So for any of us to sit here and say we know what's going to go on, I don't think we do. I think this league is all about margins, which is exactly why, as I said before, that's why I believe you're top of the pile. I think you're top of the pile because of that little less risk kind of element that you've had, trying to stay a little bit more compact. And you have played good football, but you've got good talent there as well. There's not many teams that can call on the likes of Paddy Madden and all that lot. So for me, I'd like to think that we see a Tranmere performance where we can battle and really have a go at you. And if you've ever visited Prenton Park, the big cop stand, when that gets going, it can be the 12th man. On the other hand, after a 3-2 defeat from Morecambe, I wouldn't be surprised at all. If you got an early goal, it turned quite toxic quite quickly. But yeah, this league's a basket case, so I'll say that we'll concede. Tranmere, you're going to need to score two goals to beat you, because we just do seem a little bit leaky. But yeah, I said that I wouldn't know how to call it.
Yeah, Fair enough. I think we're probably expecting a reaction as well, I would hope. And we'll talk about that a bit more in depth. Richard, cheers for coming on, mate. Really appreciate it. Really appreciate your time.
Not a problem. I'll go and see if the wife's got the divorce papers ready.
give her our apology. If you need anything written from me, I'll just send you a message. It's fine.
No, it's fine. You can pay us back by having a thoroughly miserable afternoon on Saturday.
I like it. See you later, cheers, mate. Appreciate it. Cheers, see you later.
No problem at all. Bye. Bye. Please, sir!
Stephen Gleeson, what a beauty!
There we go. He was a nice lad, wasn't he?
Non-committal, wasn't he?
Yeah, non-committal. Didn't give us a score. Bit rubbish, right? Right, Will, we'll bring you into the... We'll unmute you. Or you can unmute yourself. I mean, you've got the technology, so... Yeah, so let's stick on Tranmere. So, let's discuss. We've got to expect a reaction from last night. We'll talk about last night in a second, but I don't know about you guys. What you're expecting on Saturday?
I think pretty much every County fan is under the impression that we need to have a reaction and we need to go there and batter them.
Yeah, basically, it's suddenly become quite important, hasn't it?
Yeah.
After last night.
As he said, like with Mansfield winning 9-2, that's our goal difference gone, isn't it? They've got a better goal difference than us now. Yeah. So we've not got that to sort of fall back on. So I think, it's not a must win, but I don't think it's a mustn't lose. I think that's the best way. The panic buttons have been going off all day, haven't they? So if we lose again on Saturday, it'll be like we're facing relegation again, aren't we?
Well, maybe from some people. I mean, yeah, I mustn't lose. I don't know. I think it's a difficult one because I'm sort of in between must win and must not lose. Must win and must not lose. A draw is probably good enough, but if we don't win, we lose. We're probably going to lose our top spot, aren't we? Which is a psychological blow.
Who has Mansfield got? Who have Mansfield got on that weekend?
I've not looked. You carry on talking, and I'll find out who Mansfield have got.
Okay. So are you thinking? Will you say must win, must lose, mustn't lose, or
similar? I hesitate to say that it's a must win because we've still got a way left, haven't we, in the season, really? And there's lots that can happen between now and the end of the season, I suppose.
Yeah, they've got Walsall away, Mansfield. But it's not just Mansfield, is it? I mean, Wrexham have got Notts County at home. That could be 7-5.
Yeah.
Barrow is starting to slip away. Crewe have got Harrogate at home. So I think Richard was right. This is a bit of a basket case, isn't it? So it wouldn't surprise me if Harrogate got a point there.
Yeah.
surprised. Is one for you. So JK, John Billsbury says, must put in a performance. I think that's spot on.
Yeah, absolutely spot on. Yeah, if you turn around and it's as lackluster as it was last night, then that's when people will start panicking and thinking, oh shit, this is, we'll be struggling to keep in the playoffs and stuff, a few bad results. And as we said, it's still 16, 17 games to go. There's still going to be a lot of twists and turns. There's no team that's going to go undefeated till the end of the season, is there? So people are going to drop points here and there.
Yeah, I guess it's the manner that you drop points. And we'll come on to Crewe in a second. But it is the manner that you drop the points, isn't it? There's some other comments coming through here. If we want to go up, then it's a should win. So we're getting all the variations here. 15 games to go. Yeah. And it's 3 from 4. The famous County Santa, who is my cousin, says it's any 3 from 4. Yeah, that's probably Barrow slipping away, is it then? Have I got that right?
Yeah, I think so. As you say, have we got, because we've been top for so long, have we got a bit carried away that we're going to be champions and stuff? Whereas, as you said, as we every single person said at the beginning of the season, and even a few weeks ago, certainly quite a few people were saying, as long as we're third or above, to win the league is a bonus. We just need to finish third and we go up. That's it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? As I say, maybe we have been top for quite a bit. You know, we've been on a bit of a run. We were, as I said, we'll start talking about it, but we were awful last night. And yeah, maybe it's just a bit squeaky bum thinking, oh, here we go. But yeah, we're 15 games to go. As long as we stay away from finish third, then we're quite, well, I'd be happy. But I say anything above that is a bonus.
Yeah. And we've got to temper everything as well and say that County we've not won a football league since 1967. Now, that's even before my time, Will, believe it or not. And Wagner's
and time. Even mine.
So yeah, we've just got, you know, this is a really good position we find ourselves in, and I'm not going to say, oh, look how where we were in non-league, blah, 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 all that. You know, I would, like Chris Crowther's literally just put in, snap your hand off for third right now. And that's not because we lost last night in the performance. I think we'll come back from that. It's just third or above is that's what we want, isn't it? Yeah. And as well, I put a tweet out today that said that was our worst performance since blank. And Aldershot came out. Colwyn Bay away came out. So a few others came out, and yeah,
all the repressed memories started coming out then.
Yeah, everything you put to the back of your mind.
Yeah.
That's all this is, Will. It's just a one big counselling session. That's all it is, mate, honestly.
I think I've mentioned it to Will before we came on. I think that's probably the worst home performance that we've had under Challoner, the Crewe game last night.
Do you think the worst home performance? The worst home.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Away days with County are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at Edgeley Park. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Yeah.
I think Aldershot looked more dangerous, to be fair, going forward than Crewe did last night.
Yeah.
They had some pretty lively looking players, to be fair, Aldershot, but I think the difference is Crewe were just a better as a team, I think, because you can't pick any one of their players out, I don't think.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay, so Tranmere Saturday, cautiously optimistic, I guess. I'm hoping for a reaction, and based on what we've seen before, these runs don't, you know, it's not even a run, it's one match where we've played poorly. Let's not forget, we beat Crimsby on Saturday 3-1, and we don't even spoke about that. We did in the Courtyard Club call, though, which is available now on wherever you get your podcasts. So let's move on to the Crewe match then last night. Let's do a bit of a Courtyard Club call on it. And what I mean by that is, for those that have never listened to the Courtyard Club call, is we go through a bit of the tactics. I don't know what you like with tactics and things, Will. Do you sort of deep dive into stuff like this? Or I suppose you do, being doing what you do, I guess.
Well, I don't do like a... Not John Kieran levels of deep diving into tactics and that. You don't usually get the opportunity with the audio descriptive commentary to get into much of tactics and that. But I do a bit. Yeah, I do a bit.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's see. Let's see how we go. So, we start usually start with the lineup. So the lineup was Hinchliffe with Cass, Bristow, Torre, and Horsfall at the back. Crosdale, Sars, Evans, Powell, Alafi, and Madden. Any surprises there for you? Did anybody get 11 out of 11 on FanHub? That would be one thing for the comments. But any surprises for anybody?
I got 9. I think I got 9.
Did you?
Yeah. Didn't expect Torre to start. Certainly not centre back. And I think a lot of people have commented on that. As you say, I don't understand why he's trying to play. I know, fair enough, he's left-footed. That maybe that's the only thing why he tried to put him in there as a left-footed centre-back or a left centre-back. But we've got Byrne, who's just does what Byrne does. And we've also got that Bennett, haven't we, from Man U? So yeah. It just seemed a bit strange. That was strange for me. And then I think Camps was a bit unlucky not to start because he's been playing well. He's been in there. So, and I think it was a surprise to see Sars starting.
Yes.
Yeah. Judging by the comments from Challoner at the weekend, it didn't seem as if he was going to be fit enough to play. And he mentioned it in his comments last night that it was good to get him off after 60 minutes. But I think I'd have preferred it the other way around. Him coming on as an impact rather than going off after 60 minutes.
Yeah. And I guess to start with, I mean, the crew came out of the traps really, really fast, but we looked like we were playing five at the back out of possession, sort of moving towards a four in possession.
I couldn't work out if we were playing a four or a five, but if we were playing five, then Lehman Evans is not a wing back.
No
way, in any way, shape, or form. And I think he's probably his worst performance that he's had since he's come back to the club. And I think that is probably because, if that's the case, he was trying to have him playing as a wing back. But there's a few people that said that Challoner changed it to a five at the back because that's how crew play, which seems strange to me, is that we're at home, we're top of the league, which surely we should just be playing how we play and let them worry about us rather than us trying to change our system necessarily, certainly at home, to try and counteract what they're going to be doing.
Yeah, agree with that. I mean, as well, Matt Baxter says, Matt, by the way, I'm going to be, he sits in front of you, does he, Waggy? And I'm going to be interviewing him a couple of weeks, next week, I think. I need to message you actually, Matt, but we'll take that offline. Always thought it'd be a struggle with Sars, Powell and Paddy starting. Is that because, I'm guessing that's because of what their age is, or they're not the quickest pace. Players? Pace, yeah.
Yeah, pace, possibly.
Yeah, what do you think, Will? Is that a good sort of strategy, playing Sars, Powell and Paddy, for all of the skill and the experience you've got, all three at once?
I think it was, as you said before, I think Camps was unlucky to be dropped, I think, especially given how he played against Grimsby on Saturday. So I'd have put Camps in, to be perfectly honest with you. And I would always prefer to have Torre, if he's playing, I'd always prefer him to have be on the pitch as a left back as opposed to a centre half, and just have Burning, regardless of whether he's a left footer or a right footer. I think because Burn always he always strikes me as like being quite solid. He's always got quite a solid defender.
Yeah,
Burn. So, yeah. But it's pretty obvious that Torre is not a centre half. So,
yeah. Yeah, it's a weird one, isn't it?
That's the one that surprised me the most, to have Torre in as opposed to Byrne. I can perhaps understand not wanting to start Bennett, given that he's like 20 and it's his first game for the club and it was a big game. So,
yeah.
But when you've got a perfectly good Neil Byrne on the bench, I don't understand why.
Yeah, he's a no nonsense centre back, isn't he? He'll just clear it. He'll just get it away. He'll head it. He'll do whatever needs to be, and that's what he does. Apart from obviously go forward and score goals against Aldershot.
Yeah, score Thunder Bastards against Aldershot.
Yeah,
and it was weird because they came out as they deserved to win. There's no question about that. we didn't deserve anything. I think on 30 minutes, we probably had a bit of the play, and that's when we scored our goal. But the momentum was all with them. It's interesting to see the stats, though, as well. So first half stats, Richard kind of alluded to it as well, the Tranmere podcaster. We had 60% possession in that first half, believe it or not. And our expected goals was more than theirs, which is absolutely surprising because they had more shots on target and more big chances. So I'm not quite sure how that is calculated, to be quite honest. But we made more passes than them, and we were more accurate with those passes. So
that was between the back four.
And it's often said to me, to be honest, because I like the stats, but it's often said, well, watch it with your eyes. You can tell, and this is one of those times where, okay, we might be better than them in certain stat areas, but they pagged us, plain and simple, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. But I think building up to when we equalised, the only time that we got the ball down and we moved the ball faster, building up to the goals, you know, the 5 minutes before that, and they didn't seem to be able to cope with us. I don't think that their defence weren't very, very quick. I think they were just, they were there to basically to be a Neil Byrne, just to get, you know, clear the ball and get it, hoof it up and do whatever they needed to do. But when we got the ball down and played for like a first, you know, for that first goal, I think that we looked dangerous against them. But then we just switch off from a set piece again, and it wasn't cleared properly, and it drops to one of theirs, and it's in the back of the net. So I think they only have like four or five shots on target, and they've scored three goals. And again, I'm not saying, you know, as you're saying, not saying that we deserved anything from it, but it was, you know, when we actually put it on the floor and played against them, played fast football, then they didn't know what to do with us. But we got sucker punched, and then it all just seemed to fall apart again, didn't it? We just started to want to play the way they wanted to play, which was, they were very, I'd say, they weren't, I wouldn't like to watch them every week in, week out if that's how they play, but they're getting results, and they just bullied us all over the pitch. I think that's probably one of the worst games I've seen Horsfall have, because I don't think he won a header against their number nine, did he?
No.
And that number nine, he was either against him or he was against Cass, and he just seemed to win pretty much every header. And second balls, we just wasn't getting any second balls. It was 50-50s. We'd get a head on it and it had dropped to a crew player. And yeah, we just didn't seem to be able to get a foot on it.
Yeah, definitely. It reminded me that the last match I can think that this kind of thing happened was when we went to Wrexham away and they beat us 3-0. We were on top. We looked the better team. We played the better football. We were on top, but they scored at, like, it was almost like written in the stars. They scored at the critical times and it just took the wind out of our sails.
Yeah.
Crew just came at us, didn't they? Didn't give us a moment's peace. There's loads of comments coming through. I won't read them all out, but setting traps, we got bullied by them. We got bossed. We got bossed by a gritty performance. Mansfield did a similar job. It reminds me of Leighton Orient last season. They did a similar job on us, didn't they? They bullied us a bit. We're gritty. Some of the dark arts, all right, call it cheating, call it what you want, but it's within the rules of the game.
I don't think the referee helped either. Either of the referees had
either of them.
Game.
No,
yeah, either of them had a very good game. Because again, there was I don't know which one it was, but there was twice where the ball sort of looped over, and Hinchliffe caught it, and then their player followed through. He could have easily have stopped.
It was Baker Richardson.
Yeah, he went straight through him and put Hinchliffe on the floor, and he didn't get a yellow card for either of them. You know, he could have easily have stopped or easily avoided him, but he knew what he was doing. He was going into him, but they were getting away with it. So it was a case of, you get away with it, you're going to carry on. And I think, as you said, go back, that was the same as at Mansfield. They did the dark arts well. They knew what they were doing, leave the foot in or little niggles here and there. And because they were getting away with it, I think there was only... there's only one yellow card, which was in like the 80-odd minute.
Yeah, for kicking the ball away.
For kicking the ball away,
yeah.
And after everything that had gone on, they got a yellow card for kicking the ball away.
It was in injury time, actually, 92 minutes.
Injury time, yeah.
But I guess from a footballing perspective, and Challoner would say, maybe coaches would say, well, that's one element of the game that you've got to either control or not be put off by. We should be playing our own game. I know we didn't. We reacted to them, which was disappointing. We should be playing our own game, already being 1-0 up, being 2-0 up, and not giving them the chance to do that. So those dark arts become irrelevant then, don't they?
You know, yeah, I think it's mentioned in there about as soon as they scored their first goal, they started what time wasting.
Yeah.
They keep catching it and going onto the floor. Yeah. I was like, it's 12 minutes in, mate. Come on.
Not the way you play football. No, that's true. It's true. Yeah. And again, just going into the second half as well, very quickly. Second half stats, just as damning, really. I mean, 66% possession, more expected goals, more shots for us, one big chance, more passes completed in percentage-wise. You're right. Crew had one shot in the second than the whole of the second half. It felt like more than that to me. It felt like there was always a bit of a danger for us.
Yeah.
In the second half.
It just seemed, as Challenger said, it was the simple things. The simple things that we just didn't do. And we were too slow. Everybody around me were all, you know, shouting, you know, you could see it was just too slow. We were get the ball out, roll it out every time to Horsfall, play it across to Torre back to Horsfall, go out to Cass. But by this point, they're all set waiting for us. And as soon as it goes to Cass, he gets rushed, comes back to Horsfall. So it was just really, really slow. There didn't seem to be a lot of movement or stuff, though. It just, yeah. And again, I think Crowsdale is probably one of his worst performances that he's had for a long time.
I think
I'd have preferred to have left Bristow on and took Torre off rather than put Torre into a left back.
Yeah.
And that. So yeah, it was just a really bad day at the office and a really, really frustrating walking out because it's a Cheshire derby. It's against somebody who's pushing us, you know, top three and just so lackluster. It was just absolutely just frustrating.
Yeah, it was just bad all around. Tom Katanak, the game's up. His wife just realised that why it's taking him so long to make a Valentine's meal because he's sat here watching us. So cheers for that, mate. I bet a lot of people in the same boat as you. So that's the Crew game. There's not really much more to speak of it on it on that. I mean, you know, it was just like you say, a really bad day at the office. Put a bit of perspective on it. I think that's our third defeat in 26 matches. So as long as we bounce back from it, I don't think we can really grumble. It was disappointing to lose to Crew because they are our Cheshire rivals. Well, we're Cheshire when it suits them, I think is probably.
Yeah. Yeah. <You know? laughs> Yeah. When they beat us, we're Cheshire.
Yeah. When we beat them, we're probably great.
Cheshire in red.
Yeah. Although, just a point of interest as well, they were singing Blue Moon, and I tweeted, "Why are they singing Blue Moon? Is that a dig at us because they're City?" But apparently, they sung it first.
But that's the first time I've ever heard them sing it.
Yeah,
I don't ever recall at their place they didn't sing it last season or this season. They didn't sing it at our place last season either. So it's just. I don't recall it, and that's really confused me that them starting singing Blue Moon.
Will, I'm going to make you sound really young now, and I'm going to sound really old. But in over 30 years of supporting County, I've never heard Crew sing Blue Moon. So I'm younger than I look. I'm older than which one is it? Which one is it, Waggy?
You're older than you look.
I'm older than I look. Yeah, it's all the moisturiser that I use. Was it Crew Moon they sing? Crew Moon. It's got blue connotations, hasn't it? So why are they singing that? It's just a bit weird. And then finally on the Crew match, quick word on the damage. I mean, yeah, you're always Muppets damaging. I mean, there's quite a lot of damage, but you get this in derbies, don't you?
But I think a lot of Crew fans have said, oh, well, look what you did to our stand last season. Did we damage it last season?
Yeah, there's the actual footage of seats being walked out of the stand. Some people are saying, well, that was because it was just through celebrations. They broke. It wasn't. We weren't ripping them up. And there's obviously a distinct difference there. I've not really known County fans to rip up seats before, I'll be honest with you.
No, not since the probably 80s or 90s.
Yeah. So, but tit for tat, yeah, I don't know. I don't, it happened.
But I mean, the bill goes to crew anyway, I believe.
Is that right?
And again, I'm only going off what there's quite a few people on Twitter saying that basically any damage, because it's the away end, it's the away club that have to pay for it. So, apparently they were a load of trouble at Stockport Station as well, on the train station. But then I've also seen that apparently some crew fan had a back window put in of a car.
Yeah, I saw that. A woman and a kid,
I think it was, she said her and a friend and two 11-year-olds who were singing celebratory songs, and they had the window put in. I'm like, right.
Well,
okay, so if I'm 11-year-old and I'm in the middle of the crew and we've just beat crew 3-1, my mum's going to turn around and slap me around the back of the head and tell me to shut the fuck up. If I'm stood in the middle of the crew singing at 11 years old, I don't know, it shouldn't be that way, but there's dickheads everywhere, isn't there? Every team's got dickheads, and you start doing stupid shit like that. And I say, I'm not condoning it, I'm not saying that it was justified, but I'm just saying that you should, it's not something that you should be doing in an away town. JK. Yeah. Bill from Barnet for seats in the cup.
Oh, right. So we have done it. We have got form then. Fair enough. I mean, yeah, it happens. Clubs get billed for it. Unfortunate if it's away from the ground and your car gets smashed in. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, my trick is, I used to have a county thing in the back of my car. Take that down. You don't put anything on your car.
You don't have anything on your car to say.
Just a bit of nouse in it. Sort of risk reduction in it to put it... like that. Okay, so that's the crew match. Right, okay, let's move on to Will. Don't forget, I'm going to announce a really big giveaway, a really good giveaway at the end, so stick around for that. Let's turn on our attention to Will. Will, right, so thanks for coming on, mate. Appreciate you joining us. So for those that don't know, Will Main is the audio descriptive commentary guy as part of Alan Marsh
One
Sports.
Of them.
Or one of them, okay.
I'm one of them, yeah.
You're the main one, though, yeah? You're the main guy?
No, well, there's five of us, really. There's five of us.
There's nobody else on here, so you might as well take it.
Oh, yeah, go on, then, yeah.
Take yourself up.
So tell us about this.
There's five of us in total, so...
Okay, cool. Yeah. So tell us about this audio descriptive commentary, because I think I've heard of it before, but tell us what it is, how long it's been going, how you got into it, that kind of thing. Because I think it's really interesting.
Well, County just put a tweet out saying, would you want an opportunity to commentate on County games? Because it's Alan March Sport and I'll provide an audio descriptive commentary for County, and they want County fans to come and do it. So I just put my name down. And there was a training day on Sunday a few months ago. Our first practice game was the Wrexham home game.
Nice.
Which was a good one. It was a good one, yeah. It was a good game to start with. Unfortunately, I think I might have blown everyone's ears out when I first got on the mic. Because Tantor Alafe hit the crossbar like the minute I got on the mic. So, I was still in fan mode at that point. Because you've got to be impartial. You've got to keep it like 60-40 because it's available to away fans as well.
Right.
So, yes.
That's going to be difficult to try and keep it like that because, I mean, I'd say you listen to some of the other team streams and there's no way that they're impartial.
No way.
It's difficult. I struggle with it. Definitely. Yeah, cool. I had to pretend to sound excited when crew took the lead last night.
He's probably the only County fan in the ground.
So how does it differ from, say, the commentary that John Kieran does? Because John Kieran does it for the TV, but also he's a radio commentator, isn't he, I think, and he does describe it a bit more than maybe a TV commentator would. How does that differ from what you do?
Well, this is for people with blind and partially sighted people. So you've got to describe exactly where the ball is on the pitch at right. all times while the ball's in play. So you don't get much of a chance to talk about like tactics and like interesting facts that you might have found out in your research for the game while the game's going on.
Right.
So you've got to keep going regardless of where the ball is, which is difficult when Hinchliffe has the ball and he passes it to Horsfall, he passes it to Burnie, he passes it back to Hinchliffe, and so on and so forth. It gets a bit repetitive.
Right. Yeah.
It's tricky when nothing's happening and you've still got to carry on talking about it. It's quite difficult.
So, like last night, so the ref, I think did he go off for something before he went down injured? Did he go off, get mic'd up or something? I can't remember.
No, he went off quite early.
He went off quite early to have a word with the fourth official and the two managers, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, he had to go at Challoner, didn't he?
Yeah. Yeah. So you just have to. Sorry, go on.
I was going to say, so you're there going, and now the referee has come off the pitch. He's talking to Challoner. He's talking, and you're literally describing what is happening in sort of as much detail as you can.
Yeah. You start off by describing where you are as well relative to the pitch. So right. You've got to say that we're at the very back of the Danny Bergara stand and what's in front of us and the railway end to the left and the Cheadle end to the right and so on and so forth and where the away fans are and just anything that you can to sort of paint a more vivid picture for those who can't see the game, basically. You've got to mention it before the game.
Yeah, no, it's good. And have you got a system? So, because I know back in the day, and this is where Back to Square One comes from, doesn't it? You know, Square One was either deep left back or deep right back. So if the ball went up the pitch, it came all the way back. They go, and that's back to square one. So the team have to start again. Do you have a system like that where the pitch is cut up into blocks or anything like that? You know, to help.
Yeah,
you?
Yeah. It's kind of near side, far side, midway, inside, such and such is half over the halfway line, through the centre circle, in the penalty area, so that, you know, sort of thing. That's basically it's easier to say near side and far side as opposed to left and right because you've got a switch depending on who's got the ball. Crew's left is County's right, and I get confused. So it's near side and far side. So it's easier.
Oh, don't go driving abroad, will you? Jesus,
no.
Oh. I love it. In terms of you and County then, how did you get into County? How long have you been supporting them? You don't have to say your age, but we'll probably guess from how many years you've been supporting County.
When County were playing away at Bramall Lane in the the League Cup, wasn't it? And they won 5-2. I was born that night.
Oh, was you?
Yeah. Wow. But I guess it was fate. I guess it was fate, wasn't it, I suppose? My dad made extra sure that I was going to be a County fan because my mum's a City fan and that wasn't fair thinking about. So he's made extra sure that I'm a County fan.
Nice.
I went to my first game when I was five, I think. We played Coventry at home. We lost, I think. I don't remember much about it.
Yeah.
Did you like the hot dog?
Pardon?
Did you like the hot dog? Because that's 5 years old, that's basically what you're going for, isn't it?
I wasn't getting a hot dog with my dad at the game. No, definitely not. We're there to watch the football and nothing else.
Oh, you know? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I like the sound of your dad. He sounds all right.
Yeah. He didn't miss the Bramall, the game at Bramall Lane.
Really?
Yeah. I think he broke several speed limits on the way to the ground. Colin McRae in it over the tops to Sheffield to get there in time. I think he told me not all that long ago, he nearly bowled my grandma and my granddad down the stairs because he was charging down the stairs as they were coming up. So in the hospital. So he run to his car to get to the game. So, I mean, you know, you've got like the priorities in checking.
Right, so hang on a minute. So let me get this straight then. So you were born, so you didn't miss your birth, you were born, and then he went to the game.
Yeah, very quickly. Oh, well.
Yeah, he sounds like a decent guy. That's what I did on my son's birth. Yeah, we played Wickham at home in the playoffs. Yeah, there's no point in sticking around. I just thought my wife had had Daniel. I was like, "Well, you're in the hospital bed now. You're going to be here overnight. She's comfortable." So I went to watch Liam Dickinson score past Wickham in 2008.
Yeah, good day.
Oh, but you remember that one? Yeah, of course. Yeah, of course you would.
Yeah,
remember that one. Yeah, you'd have been 12 then, would you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I was at that match as well, that 5-2 away. Yeah. Good stuff, good stuff. So, yeah, you're not as young as I thought you'd be.
Did you see a guy red-faced, sat there like for the first 10 minutes?
Yeah. No, that's fair enough, that's fair enough. So what do you think of what's going on at the moment then with the takeover? Because, you're of an age, aren't you? I thought we were going to have a conversation where you've only seen us in non-league and things, but you're old enough to see us in the Football League and the demise. I guess just as you were coming in your formative years, we were starting to be shit, weren't we, and go down the leagues, I guess.
Yeah, we were. It beats Colwyn Bay away, for what, for sure, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I think it's great what's going on now. I mean, off the pitch, especially comparatively speaking, there's nothing really to complain about.
You know? No. People find things, though.
Some people, though, does it?
No. It doesn't stop some people. One last thing on the commentary side of things. Does it take away from your enjoyment of the match because you are laser focused on what is actually happening and you don't get to watch the match yourself almost?
Sometimes, yeah. But it has its, you know, there's other things about it that make up for it. Like you get into the ground and, you know, for free and you're there, you get to see all of the preparations before the game. The strangest thing for me is sitting behind John Kieran while he's commentating on the same game, because he's just like the voice of County on the radio to me, and he's there in front of me commentating on the same game as I am now.
Nice.
And it's very strange.
Are you going to become part of that media crew then? Because they all know each other, don't they? And they swap notes and things. They must do. Have you got yourself into that media crew yet?
I haven't actually. No, I haven't.
There you go.
No,
I'm sure it'll come. Liam will. I'm sure. Put his arm around you. Nice. Yeah. Right.
I don't commentate on all of them, but you have to share it between them. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Right. So is it every fifth match or something like that you get to do, or every bit more than that?
It's whenever we're available and fancy doing it, basically. We've got a rotor. And sorry, go on.
I was just going to say, do you do the full game then, or do you change it? Do you have two or three of you doing the commentary?
Yeah, there's two of us on at the same time, and we switch like every 10 minutes.
Okay.
So, just to like, because it gets a bit tiring. Like, I hadn't appreciated how tiring it is until I actually started doing it. But every 10 minutes gives it's just enough time for you to, you know, describe everything properly and not lose your voice. So.
Yeah, and I guess it's a career path for you, isn't it? You could move into full commentary, you know, who knows?
Potentially, yeah. Yeah, but I'm just there for a laugh, to be honest with you.
Fair enough.
Yeah. There's two of them on two of the five are doing like sports journalism at uni, so like I think they'll be wanting to do it full time, but it's fun. So nice. I am doing it.
Yeah, and you get in for free as well, don't you? So, you know.
I mean, I've already got a season ticket, but I'll get in for free. Free anyway now.
Fair enough. Gazendo says we lost 2-0 against Coventry that day.
I thought we lost,
yeah. We lost a lot back then. Right, before we're gonna wrap up soon, but before we do, one more question for you, Will. It's come from Ian Dowden. The shirts in the background. He wants to know which one the middle one is, but I'm interested in all of them actually, because are they match worn or are they just numbered? Or go on, talk us through the shirts.
Yeah, that's a match worn Jonas Larsson one, this yellow one.
Nice.
I know. That's a signed match worn Stephen Gleeson, and that one is a match worn Jimmy McNulty.
Nice.
Ben will be messaging you after this.
Tapping you up, Ben.
I won't be surprised, because I think that one was it. That one, I got that one off my dad. I won't be surprised if he got that off Ben, to be fair. I don't know if he wants it back, but you know.
Jonas Larsson, I think I've said it before on the podcast, but for those that haven't heard it, I saw him in squares one night when he was young. And like a knob, I was like, oh, I'm a county fan, and he just looked at me as if I was like an idiot, basically. And you know, here's me supping on a Smirnoff Ice, as you did in the early 2000s in squares. It was squares, wasn't it? On
was that
Grand Central.
What used to be called Grand Central.
Yeah. It was squares.
Used to be called Grand Central, and then it got changed to squares because every weekend.
Yeah. No, not every weekend, but it wasn't the place
just
to be.
Fridays or Saturdays.
Yeah. Good stuff. Will, cheers for coming on, mate. Really appreciate it. We're going to wrap up now. No quiz tonight.
Thanks very much for having me.
Yes. No worries, mate. no quiz tonight. Because we've got to get back to stuff. But yeah, the giveaway that I'm going to announce. The podcast has been donated by an anonymous source that I'm not going to reveal ever. Three adult Salford away tickets for the game on 13th of March, I think it is, away on the Tuesday night. So watch this space. I'm going to be doing three separate competitions for you to win those for free, obviously, because it's a donation. And I think they're sold out, so they're pretty, you know, hot tickets, if you like. I'm sure there won't be many that are doing the rounds between now and the match. So watch out for those. But I've got to stress, you probably need to live in Stockport area if I'm going to drop them off for you, or I'll get them sent out if we do the competition in time enough. So, keep your eye out on Twitter, Facebook here, and the Fan Hub app as well. I've started a Scarf Bagara War hub in the Fan Hub app, which has just had a new update. So have a look at that. Update your Fan Hub apps, get on there, and I'll do one for that.
Are these going to be one single giveaway, or is it three giveaways?
It's going to be three individual giveaways for one ticket, because I don't think it's fair to do three tickets or two tickets. It's just gonna have to be ones. So if anyone's struggling for tickets, get entered into the competitions. And you know what we're like for competitions on this show? We're crap at them. So it's going to be a disaster. I'm going to tell you now, it's going to be a disaster, but we'll get through it together. Just bear with us.
So it'll actually be for Salford in the Cup next year.
Yeah. Oh, Shirtgate. We'll call that Shirtgate. Yeah, We got there in the end of that. Cheers to everybody for watching and listening. Don't forget to sign up to our Patreon and all the things that I said at the top of the show. That'd be really good. Over 70 patrons now. Thank you to every single one of those. You are amazing. Cheers, Waggy. Cheers, Will.
Cheers. Thank you.
And we will be back with the Courtyard Club call on Monday to hopefully talk about a win against Tranmere and hopefully cementing ourselves at the top of League Two. Speak to you later. Cheers.
This episode of the Scarf Bagara War was written, recorded and produced by Russ Johnson and Nick Lee. The music on the opening titles was produced by Dan Johnson. Subscribe wherever you get your content, as well as finding out how to join the TSBW fan club. Check out the links in the description or go to all the W's, scarfbagarawar.co.uk.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants. 18 plus. Serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.